AM FM 24/7 radio network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. It is August 29th and a wonderful Thursday. I hope you're having a great day, a great week, getting ready for the weekend. We have a cram-packed show for you today, doing a whole bunch of stuff. First, we have Salima Lin from IBM Generative AI. Boy, are they hot right now. We're going to talk about the cool things they're doing. Last week, remember, we talked about IBM at the U.S. Open, which is going on this week, I think. Yeah, still going on. And today we're going to talk about generative AI, which is the important one, the one that can create stuff. Then Wayne Elliott, our favorite entrepreneur, is going to be back. Today we're going to be talking, I think, entirely about the medicine business that he is involved with, Strauss, an incredible nutraceutical business, I guess is the correct category, that has just had amazing impact on so many lives, including his. And then we're going to have five or six people play the Quick 10. You know, it's our little game, and we don't get to play it very often. And today we're going to play a bunch of them, so you're super lucky. Bye. We'll be right back to get started.
School for Startups Radio hopes you will reach out to us if you have any questions or comments, or if you need help with your business at any stage, from concepts to exit. Jim accepts all connections on LinkedIn. He tweets from @entrepreneurjim, and he responds to emails at james.beach@att.net. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show.
We are back, and still, I am still so very appreciative that you are with us. You know, we keep hearing about AI and seeing the ads and all of the different platforms that have come out. And as business owners, we need to know what to do and how do I use this and how are my competitors going to use this and what are the ways that I can use this to help keep my employees as opposed to running them off. I'm very excited to introduce someone who will help us understand some of these issues. Please welcome Salima Lin to the show. She is the managing partner of strategy, M&A, transformation, and thought leadership at IBM Consulting. She has over 25 years of management and leadership consulting experience and has worked with a lot of different Fortune 500 companies, especially in pharmaceuticals, bio, diagnostics, and medical managed care, healthcare verticals, things like that. Salima, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. So, are we scared or excited about all of the changes?
I think we're both, right? I think there are a number of folks that are scared and there are a number of folks that are excited. But I would say that, Jim, as you use it, as you, you know, get more comfortable with the capabilities of it, I think you will like it more than fear it, right? You will realize that it actually can help you. It can add value and it can bring out creativity in you that you didn't think you had before. And what's awesome about this technology, I think, is unlike previous technologies, it's actually easy to use. You know, it's like talking to a friend or a colleague. You know, you ask it a question and it gives you an answer. And the better you get at asking it questions, the better the answers you get.
All right. So it sounds really fun though. Is it going to be useful in my business? The question is, we don't understand how to integrate it into the mail room, into the call center, where, you know, I keep seeing all these cool uses and I went on and I was able to do some really cool stuff. It did some neat things, made some cool pictures and stuff like that. But how does that cool picture help with the processes? I think that's where people have the disconnect.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for one thing I would say is that there is no one size fits all, right? So companies are using it in very different ways. And that's because every company is different, right? They have unique needs, unique goals, and constraints. And even we as people, as consumers, you know, we have different needs. You know, for flying and about to take a flight, we want generative AI to help us, you know, get more efficient with the bookings and redeem our awards and make upgrades. You know, if we're going to go to a retailer, you know, the Gap, go to a grocery store, et cetera, we want to be able to find our products a lot quicker and find products that we care about. And we want AI to remember what we like and what we dislike. So, you know, there's no one size fits all, and what works for one company doesn't work for another. But we have seen some use cases that are experiencing the most impact in the early days of generative AI: customer service, human resources, and then, as you mentioned, core business processes. And I'll give you an example, Jim, with marketing, because here's a process that I believe is getting a huge amount of impact from generative AI, and it's quite exciting. So an example is within IBM. The Institute for Business Value, which is our thought leadership arm, we create content to help our readers formulate various points of view on different topics that interest them. And we did a paper with Adobe, and we used generative AI to develop the imagery in the report. And what would have taken us 13 weeks, based on our experience working on various reports, this is what we do, it took us just 8 days. And so that's a massive impact. And not only was the imagery absolutely beautiful, but think about how much time this saved up for marketers who could now take on different roles and be more strategic and be more creative than they'd ever been before.
Can you give me more detail? What were you actually doing? So creating charts and graphs for the report? What went from weeks down to days?
Yeah, so in this particular example, it was actually producing the images, right? And so by using various props and using, you know, Adobe Firefly and other technologies, we were able to create the images in this report through generative AI versus, you know, actually creating them with our hands. And it's just beautiful. And it's a big part of content, right? It's so creating the imagery to bring things to life.
You said, we need a romantic couple on the Amalfi Coast, looking like they're in love. And instead of going to the Amalfi Coast and taking the picture, you just had it generated. Is that
exactly?
Okay.
Exactly.
Because I was scheduled. I was the model they were going to use in that shoot, Salima, and I got fired. I just want to let you know that there's another side to the story.
There absolutely is. That's hilarious.
My wife and I, we were the couple going, and now we don't get to go. So anyway, yeah, that is a really great example. Can you give me more examples? I'd love to hear as many examples as you can think of what other people have figured out what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me share with you an example of how it creates a hyper-personalized experience. And so hyper-personalization is, you know, producing products that are personalized to an individual. Think of it like personalized medicine, right? Where, you know, can you create drugs that are customized to an individual based on their genetic profile? Hyper-personalization works in a similar way. It, you know, it seemed like a pipe dream, right? But with generative AI, it's becoming a reality. So today, 25% of organizations use it to create hyper-personalized digital product experiences, and we expect that to more than double to 64% by the end of the year. But here's an example, because hyper-personalization can sometimes be hard to visualize. The car brand, Mercedes, has partnered with U.S. music producer will.i.am. You know, I think many of us know him from the Black Eyed Peas. Yep. I've heard him speak, by the way, Jim, and he's much, much more than a musician. He's fantastic. But they've created SoundDrop, which is a generative AI-powered tool that enables the music in your car to change with the rhythm of your driving style. So your car becomes essentially a personalized musical instrument that you play by means of accelerating or braking and steering. So it's pretty cool. You know, that's an example of generative AI using, you know, making an experience, you know, very personalized just to you.
That would be amazing. I have driven some mountain roads listening to some albums really loud, and that could make it really cool if it would actually, you know, be the car, you know, to actually, be exciting. Selena, let me tell you really fast some uses I've discovered. I'm in the process of writing a book now. The process I use for writing books is interviews and transcriptions, and you know, I'm an audio person, and so that's the easiest. And we get transcriptions and then feed them into ChatGPT and say, clean it up and change it from first person to third person, which takes, you know, that would have taken probably 2 or 3 hours per interview. And there's 20 interviews so far for this particular book. And then we say, okay, do that. And then we put all of the various interview, you know, an interview might go over 5 topics, right? And topics need to be put into the chapters they belong. And so ChatGPT is doing that too. And then I said, now go in and eliminate all the duplicate stories, because in 20 interviews, you're going to get some stories that duplicate. And I think that saved me 2 or 3 hours per chapter. It's not the writing that it's helping with. It's the organization and the grunt work. And just about every step in the process, I've figured out a shortcut that GPT could help me with.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? You learn as you use it more, Jim, you find out new ways for it to help you.
Yes. Give me one more of your examples, Selena, and we need to wrap it up. I know we're pressed for time. Give me one more quick example.
Yeah. So let me give you another quick example, something that we've done here at IBM, right? We've launched something that's called an Ask IT chat box, which is powered by WatsonX. And WatsonX is our data and AI platform. And what this chat box does is that it handles 80% of the IT tickets throughout IBM in 40 different languages. And so think about, you know, how many times you've called the IT help desk and you wait and you wait and you wait. And when you finally get someone, it takes them a minute to answer your question, right? You need a password reset, for example. What this chat bot does is that it handles and it resolves these routine IT issues, like password resets, so you don't have to be waiting around, and you can instead focus more of your time on cool things. So it helps with productivity, not just for the users of the service, but for those who do the work as well.
How do we find out more? Follow online and find out what IBM is doing to help us.
Yes, and you can also find out what other companies are doing in the world of generative AI. So go to IBM.com/IBV, V as in Victor.
Fantastic. Selena, thank you so much for being with us. Great information, and I appreciate it and hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much. I hope to come back as well someday, Jim. Thank you.
And we will be right back. We are back, and again, thank you so much for being with us. I'm excited, as always, to be joined by our good friend Wayne Elliott from Canada. He is my favorite environmental entrepreneur. We've been doing a series of interviews about different parts of his career and talking about the different environmental businesses. Today, we want to focus on the battery, the alkaline lithium, a whole bunch of other chemical battery recycling business. Wayne, how are you doing today?
Always well. Thanks, Jim. How are you?
I am well. Briefly, tell people what you're doing. You are out and about traveling to 700 different retailers in the health food stores because you believe so strongly in Strauss. Tell people about that and your message with the Strauss products.
Yeah, my son and I we're still in Ontario, of course. It's Ontario has over 1/3 of Canada's population. So we'll be in Ontario for the next almost 2 weeks, and then we'll start to head west go around the Great Lakes and Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC, British Columbia, where Strauss plant and office is, and also a lot of customers in British Columbia. We'll be the next months doing this and probably driving. Haven't worked it out yet. We keep doing it in sections, but I wouldn't be surprised if we drove 20,000 miles before we're done and get back to Ontario probably in December. It's been very interesting. We've maybe done 10% of the Canadian stores so far. And it's very interesting. You know, there's a lot of retailers, of course, as we touched on last show, that are having it tough. And COVID was a real challenge for them. Malls closed 3 times in Ontario. And then with inflation and whatnot and the cost of groceries and gasoline and so forth, it's a challenge for them. So we're visiting 700 of them in Canada and hoping to help them and spending 10 or 15 minutes with each and talking about these are great products, Jim. It's not usual. Certainly never happens with pharmaceuticals where it's satisfaction guaranteed, but it's not usual in the natural health business either. We guarantee satisfaction to the customers that buy Strauss products or any of them. And otherwise they get all their money back. Strauss has always refused to have even one dissatisfied customer. And the returns are so low because the products just work so well. I mean, I'm grateful after that heart attack at age 35. If not for them, I'd be a goner. With the myocarditis last year, that's all I did. I didn't go to the doctor or take any drugs. Or I think that was a real challenge for doctors because it was such an unusual thing, the inflammation of the heart. Doctors have said that they were used to seeing maybe one person a year, and now they're seeing several a week. Not now exactly, but when COVID was raging, they're seeing people every week. So, the products just work so well. It's incredible. And people don't have to take them for life. They just don't have to once you're over whatever your trouble was. I mean, both my parents, boy, between the heart drops for circulation and the bladder, really helped my mother, the prostate, my dad and I. My dad was on his way to Boston to have a prostatectomy, have his prostate removed. When I found out, I didn't know he had any issues. He'd been on pills for a couple of years, apparently. So I convinced him, wasn't too hard to convince him because of his experience with the Strauss heart drops. When Boston canceled his bypass surgery to try the prostate formula for 3 months. And when he went back to Boston, they canceled his prostatectomy, and he died about 15 years later with a healthy prostate. So I love these products. You know, they mean the world to me. They've saved me and extended my parents' lives. And so it's interesting, and I love talking about it. It's the health stories, you'll meet some of the nicest people. They're truly nice people. And so that's what we're doing for the next couple of months. I have far less to do with our family businesses, and my youngest son has left to join me in the Strauss work. But the batteries, I've had a lot of experience with batteries in my life, starting from, my goodness, 50 years ago. When one of the old fellows in the scrap business told me what was in sidecar batteries, the lead, and where to sell it when you got the lead out of it. And so I was 3 different times in my career breaking lead batteries. And what a terrible job that is. The sulfuric acid eats the floors, eats the tow motor, eats everything. And when we stopped that in 1998, we finally said to heck with the lead business, and we began to focus. I thought the environmental clock would tick around much faster, Jim. You know, that we wouldn't want these dangerous little poison pills in our municipal landfills. I remember being on television once, and the interviewer asking me questions, and I took a little alkaline battery out, a AA, and I said, would you like to eat one? He said, heck no. I said, well, are you good with them going into unprotected municipal landfills for your children and grandchildren to enjoy in the groundwater and the potassium hydroxide inside and nickel and zinc and lead and mercury and cadmium? These are the mercury, cadmium, and lead in that order are the three most dangerous metals to human health, the most dangerous chemicals. And so it was that's what inspired me, really, Jim, was I just couldn't see the sense in between Canada and the United States. There's about 300,000 tons a year go into unprotected municipal landfills in our kitchen catchers and our garbage from home. And, excuse me, we broke the world's record for collection rates in Ontario when we got up to 54% the 1 year of all batteries sold. We collected and recycled 54% of them. That represented in Ontario, if I'm not mistaken, about 12,000 tons a year. So just to put it in perspective, that 300,000 tons a year going into the local dumps, just picture your largest lake freighter, 740 feet long, 75, 78 feet wide, 12 of those full, 10 at least. Most of the ships don't carry 30,000 tons, but 10 to 12 large ships full of these little poison bullets go into the ground every year in unprotected landfills from our homes. The TV remotes, the camera batteries, all the children's toys and devices that are battery powered. It's a growing industry, that's for sure. The battery industry is. And so when we stopped the lead, we went full time into the other chemistries and collecting them. But there was no legislation anywhere in North America, not Canada or the U.S. Ontario was the first, Ontario, Canada, finally. And that was about 16 years ago, I guess. So that would be, 2004 or something like that, 2006. And that was good because it was legislated. So we actually began to be paid fees by the pro or producer responsibility organization that represented all the manufacturers, all the big names you know of, sell battery, new batteries in the stores. And but fortunately, they weren't looking after it. The stewardship Ontario was for the first 13 years, so it was run pretty straight. And then during that 13 years, because we had beat targets, the battery manufacturers pro insisted that we not get any new customers for 2 years. And that was difficult with six salespeople and no growth allowed. You know, to me, it's evil. The target should be 100%. Why? It's like saying, Jim, you're going to play for a basketball team, but your goal is to win 4 out of 10 games. Who wants to play for that team? So, and especially with the damage to the environment, the potential damage to the environment, I just don't understand these low targets. But, you know, the manufacturers push for that very hard. California finally passed legislation on their fifth try. And during COVID, a very large entourage came from California, including a senator and a congressman, because they'd been told there is no proper solution for alkaline batteries. These are the non-rechargeables, Jim, that most of us use for our TV remotes and other things, of course. AA's, AAA's, C's, D's. Lantern batteries. So they came up to see for themselves. There was 33 or 35 people, environmental groups and these two government people, came to see for themselves that not only was there a proper outlet for these things, proper responsible recycling, but they were amazed at what we did, creating a micronutrient additive used mostly in the United States to grow corn for ethanol.
You said 60%, Wayne?
60%, yes. of the battery is the black mass, as we call it. Then there's the steel jacket, which is about 20%, a copper or brass nail, and then there's the paper and plastic. And we weren't allowed to landfill anything in Ontario on this program. So the paper and plastic that we didn't recycle was sent to Niagara Falls, New York, to a waste-to-energy plant that safely burned it to make electric power, and zero landfilling. So we were very proud of that best demonstrated technology in the world. We developed it all in-house over many years of improving, and I think at the end we had six patents on the process and to the final process. And but very difficult for the years in between, pardon me, stopping lead recycling and encouraging corporations to have their various battery chemistries to pay to have them handled and recycled properly. It was very challenging. It's probably a record, Jim, but I went, it was either 23 or 24 years in a row and lost money. The company lost money, but I just had such a strong belief in what we were doing. And I really, truly thought things would happen faster. But when you have
what would happen? The technology would happen faster, or the governments would require it faster?
That's right, the legislation. Right now, I think you have 5 U.S. states out of 51 that have legislated collection programs, and California isn't starting till 2026. So they always manage to get these delays. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense to save the giants, corporate giants, money. It's all nonsense. The technology exists. We've proven it. Our little company in Port Colborne, Ontario, proved it. Very efficient. We got a, because we couldn't count the waste energy, our recycling rate was like 84% of the battery. If you counted the waste energy, it was up to 92 point something percent, highest in the world by at least double. In Europe, they're still throwing them in a furnace just for the zinc, which is 20% of the battery to start with, and no industrial furnace, none, not for gold, silver, platinum, any metal recovers 100% of what you put in the top end. There is no furnace in history. There's always slag. There's always impurities. And so they're after 20% of the whole battery. They get maybe 17% of the whole battery in the form of zinc metal out of the furnace. And then you have 80% hazardous waste left. In your country, I think it's Palmerton, Pennsylvania, is the largest pile of what they call managed hazardous waste in the country. It's a mountain. It's a berm that stretches through two counties. I forget how many million tons it is. And that company would just go bankrupt every few years. Some other Wall Streeter come along and buy it. And that pile has never been cleaned up. There's lead in the streams and rivers. The children in two counties all had high blood lead levels. Just a disgrace. And what they did was build a new plant, moved out of Palmerton, Pennsylvania altogether, but the mountain is still there. And the U.S. EPA could never get them to clean it up or start to clean it up. So, you know, typical Wall Street, in my view, it's all about making money and nothing else matters. And I think it's criminal, personally, to willfully pollute. And so we went along for 13 years under Stewardship Ontario. And then the battery manufacturer's own pro, Call to Recycle, took over. And, you know, they've done a horrible job in their 40-odd years. First 40 years, they had two states with legislation, two of your smaller states, I think, Connecticut and Vermont. And they fought it in California four times and succeeded in fighting it. And now it's finally approved. But then they got it delayed over 3 years till it has to start. I mean, where's the intelligence in that, Jim? There's things that are terrible for our environment. Why would it be delayed 3 years? Why wasn't it immediate to start? So I guess they have a lot of political pull with their hundreds of thousands of employees collectively. And these are all the household names. I'm not going to name them, but you know who they are. And they've got all the excuses in the world not to do it. And it's just so phony that this pro boasts about recycling. They've boasted for years, 10 million pounds a year of rechargeable batteries recycled. Well, do you know how many pounds there is in the United States, Jim? There's hundreds of millions of pounds, and they keep hanging their hat on this first 10 million pounds. And the rest is going into landfill. And one of the problems is the public can't be responsible for sorting their batteries. I think that's a little much to ask. So what you have in these collections, we can tell you from our 5,000 collection sites, you have mixed chemistries, lithium, nickel cadmium, nickel metal hydride, lead, alkaline, of course. They're all in there. And approximately 85% of all consumer batteries are the alkaline batteries. And that's two reasons why I chose alkalines to focus on. Number one was the tonnage, the quantity of them. I didn't want to be sending transports around for a few barrels. I wanted to send them for full loads. And the second reason was all the corporate giants were after the nickel, after the lithium. And as far as I know, there still is no successful process, despite the one Canadian company spending $1 billion that they raised in the stock market, of course. That's never their own money. It's other people's. After $1 billion raised, they still have been unable to produce quality of lithium to be reused in the building of new batteries. They still can't do it. They still can't do that. And I don't know if it is possible, to be honest. I just don't know. But they've spent all that money and still can't do it, despite signing a contract with General Motors for all of their faulty batteries. There was some, I read this year or so ago, the car EV batteries, electric vehicle batteries, there were some 24,000 that they had at that point that were faulty. And this company in Canada guaranteed to recycle those and return the lithium and other components in a form they could be automatically reused in the building of new batteries. It hasn't happened yet. Lithium's a real challenge and also a reactive, dangerous, dangerous material. So it's been a challenging business. It was a good thing that we were in other recycling businesses to suffer the losses for 23 or 24 years in a row. But then, when we focused on it fully and developed this very good, this great process for alkaline batteries, then we began to make some profit. And right up until when the battery manufacturers Pro took over, which would be 3 years ago now, they breached our contract.
I don't know what you're referring to. What are you referring to?
When the battery manufacturer's own Pro organization, Call to Recycle, took over the responsibility.
Oh, okay.
And of course, there it might as well be the manufacturers themselves doing this work. So they breached our contract. They suspended every large collector in Ontario for some nonsense reason. We have sued them, but in Canada that'll take probably 10 years, because if you're in the wrong, you drag your feet and get away with it. You know, your lawyer's busy and all this nonsense. Because in my opinion, it's criminal. The other thing is they collect money from every single battery cell sold. So if you buy a 4-pack of AA's in Canada, on your bill is 24 cents. And that is pay to have them recycled. Well, they resist recycling every single one. So it's defrauding the public and it's willfully polluting. You and I did it, we'd go to prison for either one of those things. And with these guys, it's just the way they do business and get away with it. They've yet to even have a fine, despite all the government's threats. There hasn't been one fine levied. Absolutely nothing. And I think when there are fines finally levied, it still won't change a thing. It'll be a cost of doing business. It'll be a cost of doing business. And if they got fined, they'll appeal it. That'll be years in the courts. So a very, very difficult situation. And of course, we fought it for almost 2 years with no fees paid to us, lost a lot of money, just believing that nobody could get away with this in the 2000s. This isn't 1950 where you stick the pipe in the lake and, oh, geez, the poison's gone. It's gone. Well, it wasn't gone. And now they've managed to turn the clock back 70 years and with this behavior, and they're getting away with it. So we had decided to try and sell. I mean, we have the best technology in the world for alkaline batteries, deal with all the major fertilizer companies in the United States who loved our material. And it was quite a process, Jim, quite an involved process that we finally perfected after six patent changes. Very proud of that. And but we couldn't withstand the losses much longer. It was millions and millions of dollars that we lost not being paid fees. And we really did believe the government would bring these people to task and we would get our fees. Well, it didn't happen. I made a sale to a company that's owned by BlackRock, the world's biggest company with some $10 trillion under management, and a very good company. I met the people there, very good people. And so basically we sold most of the company assets to them, including the name. And they have carried on. They kept our people, and we've worked with them. The transition took almost a year, be a year next month, and I think they're finished now. So took close to a year. It's a very complex business, it is. Every load has a small Bible worth of paperwork with it. And but they've taken over, and I just hope they stay the course. The battery manufacturers have not moved. They're offering one quarter of what we were paid for 13 years. They've offered them one quarter of that, which doesn't even cover the collections, much less the sorting and recycling. So it's criminal, in my opinion. If this was Jim and Wayne doing this, we'd both be in prison before now. And I really can't believe it's going on. I guess, that expression that ignorance is bliss, I guess there's some truth to it, Jim. For me, it keeps me up at nights. I just can't stand it. I have grandchildren, and the thought of people getting away with willful pollution. Stealing from the public, that's bad enough. Collecting money to recycle and then not recycling, that's certainly bad enough. It's a crime. But the willful pollution is what is killing me, to be honest with you. And we're out of it now. And our president stayed with them, of course, and most all the staff. And they're carrying on the fight, piling up these credits and not being paid. Very good company. And I just hope they can outlast these culprits and win at the end of the day. You know, I started the company 40 years ago, and so of course I want to see them succeed. But more than that is the reason I started it, Jim. I just couldn't. I mean, listen, we're small potatoes up in Fort Colbert. You know, the 11 or 12,000 tons a year that we did. Well, you can see what percentage is that of the 300,000 tons a year. It's like 3% that's going into the ground. And so it hardly even counts. It's the flea on the elephant's back. But we'd really hoped that long before now, 50 states would be legislated, all the Canadian provinces would be legislated, and this would be a much bigger business and continue to challenge us. But that just hasn't happened. And California should be a big deal when they finally get around to collecting. I mean, who would want these things going in the ground for our kids and grandkids to deal with?
It's crazy. Yes. And the delay is crazy as well. Wayne, we're out of time. Thank you so much for your insights today. And I hope you have a safe rest of the week as you go and visit the rest of the 700 stores.
Thanks, Jim. You as well. Always good to be with you.
Likewise. And we'll be right back. All right, Grant, I heard you were willing and able to play our little game, the Quick 10.
Yes.
I am required by, you're in Colorado, right?
I am.
I am required by state law to ask, are you currently sober?
I am currently sober.
You don't have to be. You can change that. Would you like to take a break and come back not sober?
Well, no, I don't drink at all, so okay. I can take a break. Nothing will change, though.
All right. All right. Would you like to accept the standard wager? The standard wager.
Which is what?
The bet that everyone else has made?
Well, yeah, I'll take
there
it. I'll take
number
it on
one,
safe.
Your favorite creativity hack?
Favorite creativity hack from just blue sky, no ideas, mind mapping, along with what I call the what if, what then plotting method.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick?
There will never be a perfect time to pursue your goals. It won't come. You just have to dive in. And this quote from Arthur Ashe, I think, says it all. And it is, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can.
Number three, name your top passions.
Writing, reading, exercise, being with family, and being in nature.
Number four, the first three steps in starting a business are?
Know your mission. In my case, know what book you're trying to write. Know what success looks like, meaning the end goal, what you're trying to accomplish, and be persistent. It's going to be a long road, whatever you're pursuing.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Give them what they want.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
I would like an all-in-one writing application that essentially is a conglomeration of everything I've learned over these past 37 years.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice?
Same as above, persist.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake?
Not doing your homework before you pull the trigger.
Number nine, favorite entrepreneur and why?
Clive Cussler, because that's why I am where I am.
Excellent. Number 10, favorite superhero, Brad Pitt.
For reasons I can't really put my finger on, the Hulk.
All right. While we calculate the score and find out the winner of the wager, Grant, how do we find out more, follow you online, and most importantly, get a copy of Red Star Falling?
You can go to two places. One, my website is grantblackwood.com, and Steve Barry is found at steveberry.org.
Fantastic. And the book is 5-star rated on that Amazon place. I'm just kind of blowing time here until someone gives my team gives it. Oh, Grant, I've just been handed your score. You got a 94, a 94. You have to have a 95 to win. I don't know which one of the judges dinged you or something, but maybe it was the AI judge. But excellent.
Yeah, the AI
you have to
judge.
Have a 94 to win. So you owe us a Tesla, a Tesla. We play for a okay. Tesla always.
Will you take the Cybertruck?
If I have to. I mean, my okay. God, is that the ugliest thing ever? I don't know what they were thinking. And then it took so long to, what are your thoughts on it? I'm just not impressed with that truck.
Well, one of the top subreddits on Reddit is what's called Cyberstuck, and it's about Cybertrucks going wrong. So the popularity of that subreddit tells you that there are a lot of people that are not fond of it.
Well, you know, two days after it started getting released, there were already pictures of it rusting and things like that. So
yep.
Elon's had a tough year. So
he has.
Grant Blackwood, thank you so much for being with us. Very interesting, great stuff. Congratulations on the book, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And we will be right back. We are back and have another brave contestant willing to play our game, the Quick 10. Please welcome corporate real estate guru Joe Brady to the show. He is also author of a new book called Workshop the consumer-driven transformation of commercial real estate. Joe, I hear you're willing to play our game, The Quick 10.
I am ready, Jim.
Are you currently sober?
For all intents and purposes, yes.
Good enough. All right. Do you want to accept the wager, the standard wager?
The usual, Mortimer? What is the standard wager?
The one that everyone else makes.
Always, yes. Count
Number
me in.
Number one, favorite creativity hack?
Classical music.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick?
Pitching the deal to my wife. She's tough.
Number three, name your top passions.
Faith, family, friends, fly fishing, and food.
Number four, the first three steps in starting a business are?
Ideate, rapid prototype, learn and repeat.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Phone a friend.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
Flying cars.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice?
Collect people.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake?
Failure to rapid prototype. Need to make it real.
Number nine, favorite entrepreneur and why?
Steve Jobs. Lots of ups, but lots of downs too. He won in the end.
Number 10, favorite superhero?
Batman. Cool utility belt and Batmobile.
Excellent. While we calculate your score and find out the winner of the wager, how do we find out more and get a copy of the book?
Go to joebrady.ai, joebrady.ai. Thank you.
All right. I'm just kind of wasting time until they give me your score. Oh, I've just been handed your score, Joe. Oh, I'm so disappointed for you. You got a 94. It's an excellent score, but you have to have a 95 to win the wager. So unfortunately, you owe us a Tesla. We always play for a Tesla. But great answers. I think one of the judges was from Pi Gamma Gamma and knows that you're on a different fraternity board and kind of dinged you for that, I think, is what happened, Joe.
I can live with that. Your Cybertruck is forthcoming, Jim.
Excellent. I actually saw one on the road this morning, and you know what? Ugliest car I've ever seen. But I appreciate you giving me one anyway. Joe, thanks a lot, and we'd love to have you back. Thanks for playing the game.
Terrific. Thanks, Jim. Take care. Bye.
We are back and have another brave contestant willing to play the Quick 10. Please welcome Gerardo Sandoval from Facile Cloud. It's Latin America's best cloud performer. Just an amazing company. Gerardo, I hear you're willing to play the Quick 10.
Amazing. Yes, of course.
All right. Do you want to accept the standard bet, the wager that all of our guests bet?
I'm open.
All right. There you
Let's
go.
Do it.
Number one, your favorite creativity hack.
I love to get inspired and find my own personal angle for everything.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick.
Never launch until you have a proven market fit.
Number three, name your top passions.
Family, electronic music, DJing, salsa dancing, nature.
Number four, the first three steps in starting a business are?
Find a vision, connect with that vision and market together and validate it over and over.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Give your services, solve a problem for free. And that's the easiest part.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
Now I'm in love with AI. I'm just infatuated.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice.
Find a painful problem to solve, not a product idea. Don't get in love with product ideas.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake.
Overthinking about branding.
Number 10, favorite entrepreneur and why?
Elon. I love the way he managed the fear.
Number 10, favorite superhero?
Doctor Strange. It's a mix of, you know, knowledge and mindfulness.
All right. While we find out the winner of the wager, how do we find out more about Facile Cloud?
You can go to www.facilecloud.com or you can look for me on LinkedIn. Gerardo Sandoval Cabrera, which is the easiest path to get in touch with me directly.
Fantastic. Jordan, oh, I'm so disappointed. You got a 94, but you have to have a 95 to win. We had a judge from Columbia that dinged you, apparently. And so I'm sorry, but you are still an excellent score. So you owe us a Tesla. We always play for a Tesla.
Amazing.
So I'll look for that in my driveway soon.
This, you know, it sounds amazing.
Gerardo, thank you so much for playing, and we will be right back.
Thank you, DM. Amazing.
We have another brave contestant willing to play the Quick 10. Please welcome Diego Osorio to the show. He is the founder of the amazing tequila brand, Lobos 1707. Diego, I heard you want to play the Quick 10.
I've been looking for it all day.
Do you want to accept the standard wager?
What is the standard wager? Tell me.
It's the bet that everyone else makes.
Okay.
There you go. Number one, your favorite creativity hack.
I need to see things. I need to feel them, 3D print them, see it in life, in the world. If it's a bottle, go to a liquor store, put it in the middle. If it's a spices, go to a spice aisle and put it there and see it. Whatever it is, see it in the wild where it's meant to go.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick.
Reset your system, cold shower, go for a run, walk in the Lower East Side of New York or whatever it is to get you completely out of your creative or whatever thing you're meant to do and reset the whole system.
Number three, name your top passions.
Animals, art, design, outdoors, and eating and drinking.
Number four, the first three steps in starting a business are?
Product, team, and authenticity.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Know if you would give it to your friends.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
Something that would send the emails for me.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice.
Never take anything too good or too bad for it to be what it is. Nothing is too good and nothing is too bad.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake.
Believe outside people are going to care for your company as much as you care for your company.
Number nine, favorite entrepreneur and why?
We would have to define what an entrepreneur is, but probably either Maverick Carter or Whitney Wolford, the founder of Bumble, or Jay-Z.
Number 10, favorite superhero?
Batman.
All right. While we calculate your score and find out the winner of the wager, how do we find out more and find out how to get some Lobos?
Instagram, Lobos1707, and our website with the same name.
Fantastic. I'm just kind of waiting until I'm given your score. Oh, I have your score. You got a 94. A 94 is an excellent score, but you have to have a 95 to win. I had the president of the American Kentucky Bourbon Association today. Just randomly, he was one of the judges, and he dinged you a little bit, I'm afraid. So, I'm sorry.
Sounds about right.
All right, let's go drink some Lobos. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much.
We are out of time for today, but you know what we do? That's right. We come back tomorrow. Be safe, everyone. Take care and go make $1 million by now.